Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
And when he breathed into Adam the spirit of life, there's a reason why the Bible calls him the spirit of life, because that's what he brings. There is no life apart from the Holy Spirit.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
Well, welcome aboard, guys, and it is a beautiful day, and I hope that the sun is shining on you wherever you are, and I hope the sun is shining in your heart. The Son of God has made your heart new, and you are a new creation in Jesus Christ. My name is David, and this is Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries, and we're blessed to have this radio opportunity to come to you, to minister to you the Word of God, and I want to remind you every now and then of truthinfusion.com. And the reason being is this: there is a radio page on our website, and the radio page offers all of the previous radio programs. So if there's some of the programs in this series we're doing right now that's entitled In the Grip of Grief, and you missed one or two, well, you can go back to truthinfusion.com and open our radio page, and you can stream any of those shows free of charge, the whole show, to your computer, to your iPhone, to your iPad, anything you can stream on, it's available to you, and we want you to use it, and we're glad to have that available for you. Last week, we began a new study, a study that God gave to me a good while ago, but I feel like He's wanted me to bring this out now, that maybe there are some of those of you out there that are struggling with the overwhelming emotion of grief. As we speak, maybe it's a death that just occurred. Maybe it's one that occurred a little while ago. Maybe you're wondering, am I ever going to get over this? God gave me a study and an approach to dealing with grief that I think is very practical from the Word of God, and it works. And I want to offer you this over the next few weeks. And what we're going to do tonight is part two. Part two. Last week, I kind of introduced it, and then I gave you part one, which entailed understanding this point. It's okay to say you're hurting, to identify the pain you're going through. And I understand, and you and I can both agree on this, that sometimes our emotion, we allow it to override what we know. And grief is the most powerful emotion. We're going to talk about that today. The most powerful emotion that a human can undergo. So when we're staring down the barrel of grief, and many times for a lot of us, that emotion overwhelms us to the point that it overrides what we know. What we know is that we have promises of God that tell us that we can live victory. Victorious over that grief. So part one was identify the pain, but rely on the promise. And the bottom line was that true faith does not ignore the pain that you're going through, but it steadfastly remains focused on the promise of God. And so we're going to move forward today, and I'm kind of trying to get there quickly, because what we're going to talk about today is I think, vastly important to you and I, dealing with grief and allowing God to begin to overcome grief for us. The step two of the five steps of dealing with the problem or the grip of grief is this. Let's identify the problem. Why is grief so overwhelming? I think once we understand the bottom line as to why this is such a big deal, why this is so overwhelming, why is it so hard for us to overcome this? Can we really overcome it? once we understand what the true problem is, I think we will find a bit more peace in understanding why we're struggling. Because you know and I know that God's not going to leave us that way. Because we have a promise that we talked about last week that says that all things work for good. We also have another promise that said, blessed are those that mourn, you shall be comforted. We also have another problem where Jesus said, in this world you will experience trials and tribulation, but you take heart, for I have overcome the world. So we know the promises will remain true, but let us identify today why we struggle with this problem. Why is grief so overwhelming? Why is it that it's so hard for us to find our way through the darkness of grief? I think there is a really good answer. I think there is. And we're going to talk about it today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for the opportunity to see where your word comes alive. For where there is life-giving word, we can recover from even the darkness of grief. We stand on your promises, Heavenly Father. We know your promises will not fall to the ground, that your words will not return to you void, that they will accomplish exactly what they were sent forth to accomplish. So, Father, I ask that these words of life would fall on the hearts of those that are struggling, maybe on the hearts of those that need to minister to those that are struggling. But, God, let it touch us all in a way that we need it. And, Father, take root in our heart so that great fruit can grow from this. We give you the praise for it. Now, Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit minister this to us in Jesus' name. All right. So here we go. Let's identify the problem. Why is grief so overwhelming? I want to take you kind of around the mountain to get there, but you stick with me. This is going to make sense before we get through. You're going to, I hope, some lights, light bulbs come on over your head and you're thinking, wow, that I've got that now. And that, believe me, it's not from me. This is from the Lord. I want to read to you a couple of familiar verses. Let's start in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And you've heard this, but I want to read it to you. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. You are all familiar with this. This is the creation story. It's God bent down in the dirt that he had created with his own words and fashioned before him the form of man out of that dirt of the ground, the dust of the ground. The word says, here's the important part that I want you to see, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The breath of life. The word breath here is the Hebrew word which can be translated two ways. One is wind, the wind of life. The better translation here is spirit. Spirit. God breathed into Adam this lifeless form out of the dust of the ground, the spirit of life. And this spirit of life we know is the Holy Spirit, because Paul said in Hebrews that the law of the spirit of life, there it is, spirit of life, has set me free from the law of sin and death. So the spirit of life is the Holy Spirit. God breathed into Adam, breathed into that formed man of the dust of the ground, the spirit of life, and man became a living soul. So the Holy Spirit was the animating essence and force behind the creation of Adam. Now, let's talk about original intent. God's original intent was that his creation would never die. He created Adam and Eve with the intention that they would never die and never have to deal with death. In fact, he had decided from the beginning that nothing would die. God was not the creator of death. In the beginning, his intent was not that. Then we come to Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, just 10 verses later. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God says, you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. God warned of death, but his intention was that Adam and Eve would live forever. Their offspring would live forever in perfect communion with him, and there would be no death. Did Adam and Eve eat from the tree? Yes. Did they drop dead on the ground when they did? Well, no. We know that bite of that fruit didn't immediately cause physical death. But what it did cause was spiritual death. For in that moment, the most cataclysmic thing in the history of the world took place. Because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, departed from Adam. And the sin nature took its place. Now, when the sin nature became indwelling inside Adam and Eve, everything changed. Everything changed. Everything. You see, the sin nature brought death. The sin nature did. Adam's choice to disobey and rebel brought upon his heart the sin nature, and it brought upon the exit of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit could not dwell in the presence of the rebellion and the sin of Adam. When it left and the sin nature came, spiritual separation, spiritual death took place as Adam was separated from God and everything changed. When I say everything, that's what I mean. Because it brought about death not just to Adam, but to the plant kingdom. Did you know that plants were meant to grow and live forever? Plants were not even meant to begin to ripen until they were plucked from the vine. This has been proven scientifically. For you see, when the environmental and atmospheric conditions of the garden are reproduced, plant life changes completely. And this was found out accidentally by a doctor of science in Japan, Dr. Ki Mori. He was a curator of a scientific museum in Japan. He wanted to plant tomato plants. But they don't have room to plant tomato plants. They don't have any yard over there. So he figured out how he could take fiber optic cables and pipe sunlight into his basement. And he was growing tomato plants in his basement. He didn't realize that the fiber optics were filtering out all the UV radiation. And as these tomato plants began to grow in the presence of no UV radiation, before he knew it, it had outgrown his basement. He finally moved that plant over to the museum and built a special container to grow it in with no UV radiation. He finally had to start pumping carbon dioxide to its roots because it had grown, now listen to this, a regular tomato plant to over 30 feet tall. 30, guys, that's what I said. And at one point had over 13,000 tomatoes, and all that happened in 6 months. Why? How? Because they recreated what life was like in the garden, accidentally really, and when that happened, the plant life came alive again. You see, sin entered in, and where sin entered in, ultimately, God sent a flood that destroyed the earth, and when that happened, the atmospheric conditions changed, and plant life changed because of sin. Death came to plants. Also, sin brought death to the animal kingdom. Let me ask you this question. This is one that usually stumps folks. Who is responsible for the first death in the Bible? Well, immediately when I ask that in a group, the story of Cain and Abel comes out. And they say, well, Cain killed Abel. And that was the first murder in the Bible, but not the first death. Go back and read in Genesis and see what happened. God killed an animal, the Bible says in Genesis, and he skinned it with his own hands to cover and cloak Adam and Eve's nakedness, symbolizing sacrifice, symbolizing that the death of Christ would wrap around us and cover our sin. God instituted the sacrificial system there in the garden. In order for that to take place, animals had to be killed. And sin brought death to even the animal kingdom. Sin brought death to mankind. We've already mentioned that, but let me add a few more ideas. We've already said that it brought spiritual death because man was spiritually separated from God, and where Adam had complete God consciousness at one time, now mankind, because of Adam's fall, has complete self-consciousness. We're born separated from God and born into our sin. But also, the death of emotional and mental stability came in when Adam sinned. Because very soon, like I just said, Cain killed Abel. And we see what life is like around us now as mentally and emotionally, we're just an unstable mess. because of sin, because of death. Finally, the sin of Adam brought death physically to man. For we all know that unless Jesus comes to rapture us, we're all going to die. Say, David, what does this have to do with grief? Well, I'm building a case here. I'm going to make the point when we come back. And I think you're going to find that it makes a whole lot of sense. So you come back on the other side of this break. I don't want to get any further into it because we're going to have to stop in just about a minute. You come back on the other side of the break, and we're going to review again what we just said. I'm going to bring you back up to speed. I want to give you a verse out of Romans that ties all this together. And then I want to underline the point that I'm going to make today. Why is grief so overwhelming? I know that I've kind of taken you on a long journey here. And if you stayed with me, you're kind of wondering, David, Have you followed a rabbit trail or something? Because we seem to have gotten off track. No, we're not off track. I just needed to underline a few things that are going to build this case to answer a question that I think is a vital question for those of you that are struggling in the grip of grief. If you can identify why you are struggling, maybe if you can understand why this is so hard, why is grief the most overwhelming emotion known to man? Maybe if you can understand why, you won't think you're going crazy. Maybe some of you have struggled with this grief so long that you think this is just my fault. I'm never going to get past this. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't have the spiritual ability. I'm just so weak that I can't do it. Or maybe this, you've just saddled up to the idea that this is what life is always going to be like. Well, I want you to know there is a logical reason for why your mourning and your grief is overwhelming to you to the point that you can't find your way out. You say, David, I'm a Christian. I should be able to do better than this. Well, maybe you don't understand why it's so hard. And that's what I wanted to do here. I wanted to show you God's original intent. And when he breathed into Adam the spirit of life, there's a reason why the Bible calls him the spirit of life. Because that's what he brings. There is no life apart from the Holy Spirit. God is the author of life in the beginning, at conception. He's the one that provided the miraculous spark that brought life. But he's also the miraculous spark that regenerated your heart and brought you, a spiritually dead person, into spiritual life. Jesus said you must be born again. You must have life again. This second birth, this second life, is also at the hands of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of life is responsible for all life, and no life comes, whether it be physical or spiritual, except through the hands of the Holy Spirit. And when God breathed the Spirit of life into Adam, he intended that that spiritual life through the Holy Spirit would remain there for eternity for Adam. There would be no separation. There would be constant communion and constant communication and perfect interaction between God and his creation. And it would be forever. His original intent was that his creation would never die nor ever deal with death. But we all know that that is not the case today, because Adam ate of the tree. And the Holy Spirit had to depart from Adam because of his choices. And the sin nature came in. And this is what I talked about earlier. And when the sin nature took the place of the Holy Spirit, death came in. And I'm going to prove that to you with one quick verse. Romans 5, verse 12 says this. Because of this, just as sin entered the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, that's what I spent the last part of that last segment showing you, is that when sin entered in, death entered in, and it entered into every part of creation. Plants, animal kingdom, mankind. Let me read the verse again. Because of this, just as sin entered into the world through one man, and death through sin, so also death spread to all people because all sinned. Let me read that last segment again. So also death spread to all people. To all people. Why? Because all has sinned You see, the stats are in, guys. One out of every one sins apart from Jesus Christ. And because of that, one out of every one will die. That's not new news to any of us. We know that. But do you see the stark difference? God created mankind to live forever. Mankind is now in a position where we all are sinners and we all will eventually experience death unless Christ comes and we are miraculously changed at the point of the resurrection or the rapture. Okay, so let's get down to the bottom line then. I've taken you around the bush too many times. Let's identify the problem then. Why is death so overwhelming? We were never intended to experience grief, guys. We were never intended to experience grief and loss. If you're struggling with it today, you were never intended to struggle in the grip of grief. God did not want that for you. He did not intend that because He never created anything to die. But now we are. So here's the logical thing I want you to meet. I want these points to connect here. God did. Let me say it this way. If God never intended for us to experience grief, never intended for us to die, then would He at the beginning have created into our beings the internal, physical, natural tools it would take to deal with grief if He never intended for us to have to deal with grief? Okay, let me restate that because I don't want that to confuse you. This is the whole point of this show today. Would God have to deal with death if He never intended you to die? I mean, this is just a logical point to make. If God never intended death, why would He give us the ability to deal with death? You know what? He didn't. That's why, of all the emotions that are common to the human experience, and brothers and sisters, death and grief is one of them. Of all of the emotions common to the human experience, grief is the hardest one to handle. In fact, most people never do handle it. Most people remain an indirect victim of the death of a loved one. Many for their entire lives. Why? Why, David? Because we cannot naturally deal or cope with death. God did not create into Adam the ability to deal with death because God never intended for Adam to die. And so we just don't have the ability to do it. Why is death so hard for you? Why are you struggling? I want you to know why. Because in your natural self, within your body, within your flesh, you don't have the ability to cope with it, to deal with it, to walk through it and walk past it and live in complete victory. And I hate to leave you all right there, but I can't get into part three until next week because then I just won't have the time to even start dealing with it. So I want to end like this because there is a plan. There is a plan, and that's what we're going to talk about next week. We're going to identify the plan. This week, we identified the problem of why grief is so difficult. Next week, we'll start to identify the plan. When God's original intent is destroyed by man, here's the good news. He always has a plan B for you and I. He has a plan for you. He has an answer for you. He's got an answer for the problem. So next week, we're going to talk about that, but I want to leave you with this. Because of grief, because of death and loss, some of you are in a pit right now. Maybe some of you are saying, David, I'm in a pit, but it's not for that reason. But I know I'm a child of God, but I am in a, David talked about it in Psalms, that he was in a dark, miry pit with that miry clay, painting the picture of a slippery pit that you could not climb out of. Maybe some of you are in that pit today. If you are, I guarantee you're in that pit in one of two conditions. So I want you to identify yourself with one of these two things. Either you're in that pit looking up, saying, I am trying and I'm trying and I'm trying, but I cannot get out of this pit. You're looking up saying, I can't do it. You know what? I've got a word for you. Quit trying. Give up. Because you're right. You can't do it. You cannot climb out of the pit of grief. You can't. The good news is God can. God can take you out. So you quit trying. Let Him do what only He can do. Some of you are in a pit today. You're looking up at the light at the top of that pit saying, I've tried everything I know how and I can't get out. Okay, you need to give up because God wants to do what only God can do for you. I promise you, He will. The other group is this. Maybe you're in that pit and you're not looking up. You're looking down. You're looking down because you have given up hope. You've given up trying. This is always going to be like this. There's no hope for me. I got a word for you. Look up. Look up, child of God. You have a rescuer on the way. What you cannot do, God can do. He will not leave you in that pit. Some of you worked so hard to get out. Quit struggling. Let God do what only God can do. Some of you have given up hope. You've been in a hopeless pit for a while now. Well, you know what? Look up, child of God. Your redemption draweth nigh. Your rescuer, your redeemer is on the way. And if you'll come back next week, I want to help you identify the plan that God has. When His original intent was destroyed, He had a plan B for you and me. And the grip of grief will loosen just a little bit more for you next week as we identify that plan. And that's what we're going to do. So you come back. And until next week, you keep seeking the truth. God bless you.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.